Check, 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 check. This one going. Check, check. Good. All right. Bless you guys. Wow. You know, the thing the Lord was saying to me was, you know, we just have to make a joyful noise to the Lord, right? And there's joy in the house this morning. I just was so blessed to watch you two worship this morning. The smile on your face this morning, brother, bless you. May the Lord just bless you, my brother. Oh, it was just wonderful to see the smile on your face and the dancing here. Amen. You know, we were singing in the Spirit there, and I've been in so many churches, and there's this fear of speaking in tongues and this and that, right? When we were singing in the Spirit there, we're just making an utterance to the Lord. That's all it is. We're just groaning and moaning from inside, just saying, oh, if I didn't have you, oh boy, where would I be? Oh, right? It's a release. So don't be fearful of tongues and fearful of the Holy Spirit, just releasing, right, the blessing and the presence. It's a wonderful thing. Paul says, boy, I wish everybody prayed in tongues, right? If I wish everybody prayed in tongues like I do. That's what his prayer. And I think about Jesus. I saw a picture of him riding in on that donkey and them singing and throwing these leaves. And people are like, who's this guy on the donkey? Like, what's going on? Like, well, quiet down. And he said, even the rocks. If these people weren't singing, the rocks would cry out. The rocks would cry out to Jesus. Creation itself is moaning and groaning for Jesus. You know? This picture that even if we didn't sing, the creation itself would bust out into singing for Jesus, right? That's how he is the sovereign king, right? So I'm Kelly Rowe. I'm from Hope Mission. I've been here about 6 months now, 5 months or so. And we forged a good partnership. Alvin, you know, and I have forged a partnership. Stan, right, and Seth are renovating the old Bargain Treasure. So we'll have, on December 1st, we're opening up a ministry center downtown. Right? They're getting that all together. Right? And I've worked in four inner cities, and this is the first time I've ever seen two inner city, you know, churches, ministries, Christian fellowship to partner like this. So it's a blessing of the Lord. It's God's way, right? He's got his hand on these ministries. So whatever we're going through here and whatever Hope Mission is going to go through, we have partners together, and we're going to stand together in it. So bless that. I thank the Lord for Alvin every day. And I thank the Lord for this church. It's been a total blessing to me, right from the moment I set foot in Red Deer. Yeah, amen. And it was God brought me here, and it's been a wonderful ride. Now, God's got such a heart for the lost. This morning, I'm weeping over the people in Red Deer, right? The tears are rolling out of my eyes today, just thinking all the people out there who aren't saved. And there's people in here, I know everybody in here has a person on their heart that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus. I got so many friends in this city from my old life. But on the 10th of December, I'm going to bring more information for you. But this is your mission, right? Hope Mission, we are missional. We get out there, Potter's Hands is missional. We get out there and try to make a difference. On December 10th in the new building, I'm going to put on an evangelical workshop that the Lord wrote for me about 6 years ago. And there's been fruit out of this workshop because the Lord wrote it. It's a simple 45-minute presentation. And many people will come to the Lord. So I'm saying to you, in the next week, I'll bring more information so you have the dates and the times and all this stuff. The next week, put it to prayer. Put this person, the one person God's putting on your heart today when I mention these things, put it to prayer. And all you have to do is get that butt in the seat. The Hope Mission will take care of the rest. We'll do the teaching. We'll do the, you know, just bring them and pray for them. Support them and sit with them. And it's a 45-minute presentation. It's not a long thing, right? But there's a journey that they're going to go on afterwards. I've seen wives that have had husbands that they've been unequally yoked with for years that came to the workshop and bang. One of the guys was 10 days after he took the workshop. He began reading the book of John and praying and doing some of these things on this follow-up. He showed up at our pastor's door, banging on the door at 2 in the morning. The pastor comes down, his house go, whoa, and he's like, oh, my goodness, I've had an awakening. I'm going to accept the Lord. And he's like, oh, great, well, we'll see you on Sunday, and we'll pray for you. He says, no, I need to do that right now. So he's in my pastor's house at 2 in the morning, 10 days after this workshop, accepting the Lord, just convicted in his heart that he couldn't wait another minute for Jesus. So put it to prayer. I challenge you. Put it to prayer. Get to this person, you know, and talk to them and get them in the seats. Because we want to see people saved. I want to see your burdens lifted. I know what it's like to carry these burdens. No one was saved in my circles when I got saved. And I was like, whoa. I mean, what am I going to do, Lord? So that's just, I'll give more information on that next week. But we got a testimony. The power is in the testimony, the overcoming, the power of the blood, right? The power is in the testimony. But Jeff's going to come up today and share his story with us. Amen. You got your own mic even. Okay. Amen. Let me just pray for you. Lord, thank you for our brother Jeff. He's a man of the Spirit. He's a man who loves to worship and just honor you, Father. So just honor him today, Lord. Just speak through him. Use him as your vessel, Lord. Just let him shine like only you can make a man shine, Lord. Let your glory reign in his heart as he speaks about his story with you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Well, is it working? It's working. What do you know? Morning, y'all. Overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. You know, in school, I actually took zeros for public speaking because I was afraid to come up and speak. Look at this. Good grief. So I don't know if I'm shaking from sheer nervousness or from the presence of God or maybe a little bit of both. But anyhow, I have a scripture here that, you know, starting off is always good with a scripture. So this is the judgment that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. For their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes into the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. Isn't that amazing, eh? Fear actually keeps you from coming into the light. Fear actually keeps you from presenting those things that Jesus paid for before God and confessing them to him. So just be encouraged to overcome that fear. God encourages us to bring those things to him. He encourages us. He doesn't want to sit there and beat you over the head. He wants to lovingly forgive you. He wants to lovingly heal you from these things and make you more. But anyhow, testimony time. Yeah. Well, I wasn't growing up in a Christian family. I was part of the United Church as where my parents went. And so through childhood, I was introduced to Sunday school for a good portion of it. And one year, mom and dad stopped going. So then the kids stopped going. So it's quite a while that I had spent away from church as well. But, you know, train a child young, and they won't depart from their way when they get older. And sure enough, I've come back to church. I used to run a restaurant in Thunder Bay, Ontario, and I had hired a lady and made her part of the management team eventually, and then we had gotten together and hired another young lady, and she was the one who popped the question, would you like to receive Jesus? So this is part on how I come back to church, which was burning in my heart for years. Always wanted to come back, didn't really know how to get back. So, but this is how God snowballed it into actuality or into my life. So, this one day, Judy came. Judy was her name, and she had come. She's the lady that I had hired for and eventually made into the management position. She come to me one day. She goes, I got a question for you. Now, understand that Judy wasn't saved, but this other girl that I hired was. So this other girl took Judy to church, got her saved, and let alone Judy come and talk to me. And if you know me from the past, it was four-letter words and friend-getters and everything else that just come along with natural living, I suppose. Natural as I knew it then. And she says, I got a question to ask you. I says, okay, well, go take a seat out in the restaurant, and I'll finish up what I'm doing here, and then I will, I'll come and chat you up. And she, it's funny because she gets there and she's all nervous, like she's twiddling her thumbs, moving her head, moving her arms, like didn't want to ask me because afraid of what I'm going to say to her. Because while they know me from the restaurant, I get mad, I'd throw things, I'd whatever, it wouldn't matter, like no patience at all. And so she was kind of nervous about asking me this question. And she goes, well, I got to go get my kids. So, well, so if you want the answer, you got to ask me, right? So just spit it out. I don't care. Let's just just say, get it off your chest, whatever. And she goes, well, you want to come to church with me on Sunday? And I went, yeah, sure. And she goes, what? You should have seen, honestly, she did not know what to say. Sure. She didn't know that my heart was yearning to go back all this time. And just didn't know how to get, didn't need to know. So I just, I got in my car that Sunday morning, and I drove up there, and I got greeted at the door. It was Elam's last service in this place, and then they were moving to the basement of a rec center, so the Spirit of God was moving these guys around. And for the first two sermons, they had an intern speaker or a guest speaker, because the campus pastor was away visiting family. And so the first service, we'll get to the point now, the first service that I heard this pastor preach. And you see, Judy and Terry, they like to sit front row center. And Jeff did not want to sit front row center. But because I went with them, I sat front row center. And yeah, it was a really, really weird feeling for me anyways. Almost a little shaky now too, but it's kind of funny, because he preached that first sermon that I heard this pastor preach. His name was Pastor Dave LaRivière. He was a French, he had a French accent. And at the end of the service, I mean, I don't know what hit me. I was blown away. I was sat there. I was like comatose. I was just like, yeah, serious. And so I was not understanding anything that was going on. Anything that was going on. And Terry sits, I mean, she kind of shakes my shoulder. And she goes, Jeff, you all right? And I just kind of nodded. Simple nod. Didn't say anything. Still wondering what the heck hit me. And she goes, are you sure? Shakes me again, are you sure? And I go, uh-huh. Just kind of nodded my head again. And then she just popped the question. Do you want to receive Jesus? I just kind of shook my head. Uh-huh. Seriously, it was no big off the mat. And then she takes off like a bolt of lightning, goes, gets the pastor, and he comes on over, and he reaffirmed the question. I'm now standing. I finally got off the seat. I'm now standing. I got off the seat, and he reaffirmed the question, and I kind of reaffirmed my nod. And then he goes, okay, well, I'm going to pray for you. And then when I cue you, basically, he says, I just want you to repeat after me. So anyhow, now people are starting to put their hands on me, and I'm like thinking, what's going on here? He says, he starts praying, my bottom lip starts moving. And I'm like thinking, I'm not moving my bottom lip. I'm sitting here, it's just shaking. I can't believe it. It's just moving by itself. And I'm like thinking, holy smokes. Anyhow, I didn't know what was going on. And then he finally cued me, and I repeated a form of the sinner's prayer, and that was the conversion point. That same day, I'm driving to work to do inventory after church, because I was responsible for doing inventory every week. I'm downstairs counting, and my assistant comes downstairs, and he goes, Jeff, you got to come upstairs. You got to see this. I go, what? He's like, the sky is green. So I'm like thinking, okay, so I kind of believe him, whatever. I get up and I go upstairs. My eyes get big because I know what the green sky usually means. And it's usually not a good thing when it happens. If any of you has ever experienced severe storms, that's one of the six signs of the sky. And I walked out to the front and I said to the waitress, turned, she goes, Jeff, I'm scared. And just as the wind starts picking up in the house, I says, yeah, well, this is pretty much the beginnings of a tornado. And that day, a funnel cloud passed over Westfort in the city where I lived. And it was quite a storm. But anyhow, as I was going back downstairs, I remember this. I go, God, if you're going to help us, you better help us now. I had just gotten saved, and that was probably my first prayer after being saved. So anyhow, but that's part and parcel. Now, to move on to one of my experiences with God. While at this restaurant, I used to have a problem with my right wrist. And it was, some of you might have heard this story before. Quite a few of you haven't. But I just, I can't explain Can't explain it, but it just would fall out. I couldn't put it back in, and I couldn't move it or turn it or twist it or do anything if it fell out. It was just painful. And there's times when I could pull on it, overstretch it, try and reseat it, and I would do things like that just to get it, and sometimes I'd get it, and other times it would just take quite a while, but it would be very, very sore. So this one night, about 10 o'clock at night, I was working the closing shift, and 10 o'clock it fell out. So I'm like thinking, man, and I'm pulling and prying on this thing all night long till the closing time. Well, at the end of it, I even had to get the waitress to count the money because I couldn't even make this motion with my wrist to count the money. Eh? So I had the lady count the bills for me. And then after everything was said and done, I jumped in my dad's little 5-speed Datsun truck and started heading home. Well, I'm talking to God, eyes open, just like I'm talking to y'all, like he's sitting right beside me. And it's quite interesting. And so I get home, and I'm climbing up the stairs of my parents' place, and I'm going through the back door of it. And just as I'm going through the back door, I says, God, you know, I says, I've tried everything with this wrist, and nothing's happening. So if you could do anything, I just would really appreciate it. It wasn't on my knees, bowing my head, and begging him to heal me or anything like that. It was just a simple chat. So anyhow, I walked in, and Dad had opened a bottle of red wine, and I thought, well, I'm going to have a glass of red wine before I go to bed tonight. And so I pours the glass of red wine, and I did something I never, ever did with a glass of red wine before. I lifted it to heaven, and I said, thank you, Jesus, for this glass of red wine. And at that moment, the fingertips, and I took it in the sore hand, so my sore hand was up in the air. The fingertips of the sore hand, my right hand, started to tingle. And I'm like thinking, oh, what's this? And then the tingles spiraled. Like, they literally spiraled down. They got to my wrist, and when they got to my wrist, the wrist lit on fire. It's like someone struck a match. I kid you not. And it went burning from the inside out. It literally went burning from the inside out. And then I started feeling pinpricks in the owls, like maybe the source was being fixed or something, I don't know. But I took that glass out of my hand after that moment, and I went like this, and I couldn't move it all. So anyhow, that was just one of the first experiences of the supernatural that I experienced with God. So it's quite amazing, and I was pretty thankful and in awe, in a sense. Sure, I only have one more. A little bit later on, the enemy come and he struck that same wrist. Be careful when you receive a miracle from the Lord, because the enemy will always try to steal the glory. God got glory that night for healing my wrist, but the enemy did come and he did try and strike it. And all of a sudden, about 2 weeks later, my wrist started hurting again. I said, I says, this is weird. God, you healed it. What you've done. So I said, no, Satan, go. And my wrist was instantly restored again. It was the enemy. So just be aware that the enemy will try to steal the glory. Another important fact is I used to be a cab driver for a little bit too. And this one particular night, I was overwhelmed in my mind, just to the point where just the pressure was so bad. It wasn't pain, but it was pressure, hurting really, really bad. Not the kind of pain that you'd normally have with a headache, but just stress or just emotional stuff. And I was tearing and crying. I had nobody in the car. And I hear this still, soft voice. He goes, peace, Jeff, is what I heard. And at that very moment, it's like a drain opened up. And like you could see a level lowering in a glass if you pulled the plug. It watched it go down. That's what I felt like in my head, moving down. But at that point, I also realized something else, that the flesh will fight the Word of God. It'll fight against it. My flesh tried to keep that peace from prevailing. As it was draining out, I could feel my body resisting that. But obviously, the Word of God is... you know, it's supreme. It's above all. It's life, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. But I've got many other things I could share, but as time presses on, I'm to turn the mic over now. So thank you for listening. And
just a little testimony on a hand that got healed. Brenda found out like that she was going to worship this week. She came into the war room or the prayer room we have on Tuesday mornings and had burned her right hand. And so she wasn't even sure she'd be able to play today, but obviously the Lord healed her. We said, so we contended for her right there and said, no way, she's playing worship Sunday. We don't care what you think you've got going on here, devil. You're not defeating our sister. And we stood with her, and the hand was just a shaking away and rattling. And it was good, though. Praise God. Well, Lord, just thank you, brother, for our, you know, for Lord, for our brother Jeff and just what you've done in his heart. Lord, how you just came in a moment, just in a moment, and changed his destiny. Just with the surrender, he didn't even understand it. I had a similar experience, Lord. Just you dumbfounded me one day, and I was accepting you into my heart. I didn't even know what was going on. And just thank you that you showed him that he could. You are sovereign over storms. You're sovereign over our bodies. You're the healer. Just protect his mind and his heart, Lord, as he shares his testimony today, Lord. We know the enemy has a plan to try to rob all the things that happen here and put some doubt back in him and all those things. So just brood over him today, Holy Spirit. Just put on your armor, Jeff, and stand strong and know that today, you know, you've affected the atmosphere here at Potter's Hands. You've affected our hearts and our minds, and it's a blessing just to have heard your testimony today and continue to share those stories with us as we move forward. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
I know that. Whoa. Where should I stand here? Amen? I've been a part of ministries where it just, boom, it just exploded. That congregation would go to that, start up something there. This congregation would go over there. Right? Amen. As far as the board's concerned, we're standing. You're going to stand with us? Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. And behold the salvation of our God. Amen. God has a plan for Potter's Hands ministry. God has a plan. God Almighty has a plan for this ministry. So all he requires of us to stand and stay and see the salvation of God. We're going to do something unique here this morning that is going to maybe just cause some ripples in your mind. Maybe you've never been a part of something like this. It's kind of new to me too. But I've sensed maybe in the last maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, God has put on my heart to do a foot washing. And whatever that means, I believe, here's what it means for me, what I felt the Lord showed me. We're drawing a line in the sand. This is it. Okay, back here is the old potter's hands and all the things, what has happened. Okay? But we're drawing a line, and we're stepping over, and we're coming in to the promised land. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a new day. It's a brand new day. Okay? So we can forget those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. And so I know maybe things aren't as normal as you think they should be here. Maybe this morning was a little, you know, but hey, hallelujah. I sense the presence of God here. That was just like, man alive, thank you, Jesus. You know, God has stamped his approval on this ministry. Amen? He stamped it and said, yes. So that's what we're going to do. And so what you need to do is maybe there's some things in your mind. Maybe we crossed over the line a few things here, and you're just like, man, this is it. Just get into the Word, read the Word, pray about it, and I believe God is just going to show you very clearly that what happened this morning was okay. Amen? Okay? So just do that. And the other thing that we have been praying for here in the last couple of weeks here, a spirit of offense. That thing is very real. You know, I've dealt with that thing, maybe myself, but some close people around me and stuff. And you can just look at them. Maybe you don't look at them in the right way. Look at them sideways. What are you looking at? You know, like, whoa, okay. So that spirit of offense will come and try and manifest and to create wedges between us, amen, as a congregation. It'll try and create wedges to keep us apart at a time such as this, amen? But if we stay together, hang together, support each other in prayer and intercession, we'll see this thing through, okay? So I'm here for 6 months, okay? And maybe 6 months only, I don't know. Maybe not even 6 months, so it's hard to say. But anyway, I'm going to make the best of it, we'll see where God takes us. But again, I covet your prayers on my behalf, my wife and myself. Amen? And we'll see this thing through. So hang in there. Hang in there. It's always too soon to give up. Amen? It's always too soon to give up. I've been a quitter a majority of my life. A quitter. Like, just start something and then stop. I don't need this. You know, any intrusion. And then leave. Or whatever. Okay? So your prayers, I'm up here because of your prayers by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is challenging for me to stand up here. You say, oh, well, no, it's challenging. I'm telling you that. I'm bearing my heart, okay? It's challenging. But this is part of my destiny that God has instituted for Elvin Rainville. Hallelujah. So, amen? So, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, anyway, this foot washing. So, I've taken, and this is, like when you read it, this is so humbling. This is so humbling, I tell you. If we got pride, selfish ambition in our hearts, man, it's got to go, right? I mean, come on, you know. So, but as I go here, I'll just read this. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And, bye, you want to get me? Oh, I can make an announcement about the board chair. Don Ebenall has been installed as our new chairman of the board. Chris has stepped down. And he's been wanting to step down for years. But stand up. Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. So you're going to meet the board after. But I really appreciate Chris and his leadership over the years, you know, for him and Stan and Rob Soley, you know. So let's just give praise to the Lord for that. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else? Okay, just let me read this portion of Scripture. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, this is in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John. Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet, Jesus. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, he sat down again. He said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So you have that in mind. And what I felt here was I wanted to thank the Lord for installing me here for a time such as this. I give him praise and glory for that. I want to thank the board for allowing me to step into this task, momentarily, but you know, just to say and to preach for the next 6 months, and then they'll evaluate whatever the situation is at hand. What I like about the vision of Potter's Hands, I just kind of deviate from what I'm going to be sharing here, is that they took the gospel literally. They took it literally to feed the homeless, the poor. Amen. And so I think that's one of the things that Potter's Hands will be earmarked for, that we take the word of God literally. Amen. If this they see a need out there, they're going to do it. Okay. So consequently, this spring, Pastor Stan had gone to the city, and they had a meeting there because our three-year time up on this property was up. So Stan went to the board, to the city council, and to get more time. And so consequently, they gave him 10 more years. So we have 10 years in this building, 10 more years, okay, supposedly. So I questioned the board. I put forth before the board, I says, where are we going to be in 10 years? Where's the church going to be? Where's the kitchen going to be? Where's Lazarus House Ministry going to be? Okay? So in the coming days, I believe God has laid some things on my heart concerning that, but I'm not going to preach about that tonight, this morning here. So God has a plan for this church. Amen? And with that, God has a plan for each of your lives. In case you don't know it, each one of you persons, God has a plan for it. Okay? Now, that's another message too. So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going there. I get deviated and I go down these rabbit trails. But that's another message. But just ponder that and meditate upon that each of us here so valuable in the eyes of God. Each of you, God has hand-picked to be a part of Potter's Hands ministry. God has called you by name to be a part of this ministry. This is no ordinary ministry. Amen? Does everybody agree with that? This is no ordinary ministry. Amen? So, God's plan for the kitchen. God's plan for the Lazarus house. Okay, past that. Okay. Today is a brand new day, a fresh start. Jesus put on my heart to have a foot washing service. Shared that with you. Okay, and I shared with you about the line in the sand. Okay, and I also want to share with you is we have a clean slate now. Okay? We're going to have a clean slate. So from this day forward, it's a brand new slate. Okay? So just keep that in mind. We want you to recognize that we are here to serve you. And that's beginning with humility and love. As a board of directors and pastor, not here to hurt anybody in any way, shape, or form. And this is why I'm asking you, pray for me. Because sometimes this thing here can say some things that, you know, maybe weren't intentional, okay? And but I want you folks to know that I love you guys, okay? God, years ago, couldn't care less about the homeless people. Couldn't care less. Didn't have no love. I had love for me and me only. I loved me. But God has brought me on a journey here. It's going on 20 years, ministering on the streets of Red Deer, okay? So that's another message. Yeah. Amen. So I wanted to break any perceptions of selfish ambition. Any perception. Like, Alvin, oh man, this is his chance. Now, that I want to break that, okay? And like I said earlier, pray for me. Pray for myself and my wife, okay? The other thing that a foot washing will do, amen, for some is sin. Our brother Tim here has a powerful testimony. Not his personal testimony, but someone that had a foot washing. And maybe, Tim, you want to come up and share that? Just for a second. I put you on the spot there, brother, but I think it's valid here. Testing.
Well, we were just meeting as a board, and Alvin brought up foot washing, and some people on the board were not familiar with it or a bit uncomfortable with it. It's not something that, as a whole in churches, that you usually see or experience. Some of us have, some of us haven't. My wife and I were involved in a ministry up in Grand Prairie for a few years, and we would go to different churches, and we actually were working with an organization called Family Foundations. And so they would present seminars by video, and then we would break up in small groups and we would pray for people. And what they were touching on was where people had missed the blessing of God in their lives. And so that could be at the time of conception, the actual time of birth, when you were a toddler, when you reached puberty, when you supposedly became a man or became a woman, which unfortunately in Western Canada, or it's not Western Canada, but I mean the Western world and Canada and the States, it's like, yeah, when you get, you know, when you're 18 and you get your driver's license, now you're a man or whatever it is for a woman. We don't have very good forms of rite of passage in our culture. So anyways, an example would be if you were at conception, you know, were you really wanted? Was this something that the mother and father wanted? Were they excited about you being born? Were you a product of rape? All these different kinds of things where you could have had a blessing, or maybe you were actually received a bit of a curse. So, anyways, and these are the types of things. Like when you got married, did your parents on your mother's side and your parents on your father's side happy about it? Or was maybe one of the parties not even happy that the two of you were getting married? Or maybe nobody was. And so were you actually blessed in that marriage? Or were you actually, in a sense, cursed? And so a lot of people had different areas in their life where they'd been wounded or really hadn't received God's blessing. And anyways, in this one setting, there was a girl that had been raised in a family where she'd had nothing but abuse. She'd had physical abuse. She'd had sexual abuse, and by men in her family and by a boyfriend. And so I was a facilitator of this particular group. And we were in a church like this where there was a kitchen in the back here. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, I want you to go into the kitchen. I want you to go get a basin, and I want you to fill it with water. And I want you to come back and ask this girl, and my wife was in the group with me too, so we were ministering together, to ask this girl if she would like to have her feet washed, if I could wash her feet. And she felt kind of uncomfortable and everything, but finally she said, yeah, okay, I'll let you wash my feet. And the Lord had told me that to do this because she'd never been touched appropriately ever by a man. And so when I washed her feet, this was my experience of a foot wash. When I washed her feet, a dam of emotions came out of weeping and crying and hurt and everything else like that. And then it was just like her whole countenance changed. And it was just like in that moment, it's just like the Holy Spirit touched her and said, you're loved. You're worthy, you know. And she just, yeah, she received a healing just through that action. So I had shared that in the group the other night. And, I guess Alan asked me to share it with you guys.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So this can be one of the outcome, amen, of having your feet washed by myself or one of the leaders here. This practice promotes humility and care for others. And we want you to know that as a board that we want to care for you spiritually, physically, as best we can. Amen? And so promotes unity. It also promotes unity, a greater love for one another. Amen? Another thing of foot washing. A sign of racial reconciliation. There may be some racial like this inside of this place, and so that can be dealt with. Amen? Makes us vulnerable and transparent with one another, and may uproot hidden sin we have toward one another. Amen? I may have, over the years, injured some of you people, and if you just come forward, I mean, don't talk to my wife, because I have, you know, and but I want to wash your feet. I told her, I said, I'd love to do that, you know, just to shine a sign of humility, and from this point on, you know, it's not about promoting myself or anything like that. It's not about that. I just want to serve you folks as best as possible by the Spirit of God. Amen. And as we saw this morning, worship, you know, we need your help there. Just pray into it. Covet your prayers for the worship team here. So, foot washing also promotes servant leadership. Some of this stuff I said already, lowly service, loving service, self-giving service. At its very core, as an act of caring, it reflects the grace of God's never-ending unconditional love, according to John 13, 12-14. We are to wash one another's feet as an act of loving, self-giving service, and in so doing, we will be expressing the love of God and the saving, cleaning grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to each other, John 13, 34-35. In response to the command of the gospel, foot washing is an example of servanthood that Jesus urges on all who follow him. In essence, Jesus' act of foot washing says to us, I have descended, you descend. And this is one of the areas that really just touched my heart. I just like, Jesus did this. So I can follow suit. Amen. I can follow suit what Jesus has done. And that just like, holy smokes. Here's something that Jesus did himself. Amen. So if we could get the girls to get the basins and the pitchers of water, how we're going to do it is because originally when I thought about this, I thought, well, we have a basin and then we're going to wash 20, 30 feet in the same basin. And I was thinking, that ain't going to do too well. He says, how is that going to work? You know, no, that ain't gonna work out too good. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little pitcher. We'll pour a little water on your feet. We got some towels, and we'll wipe your feet. And just pray, whatever. There may be a prophetic word that may come out. There may be a word of knowledge, whatever the case. You know, I'm only being obedient what God has asked me to do, okay? The outcome, you know, who knows? But if it's not for you, it's definitely for me, okay? Just to reflect that if Jesus did this for his followers, I can do the same thing. Amen? And so we'll get that.
She just washed feet once a week. And what the real goal was because those people spend a lot of time on their feet when they're homeless because they don't have vehicles, right? They have to walk here. They got to go to Loaves and Fishes, downtown, bling, bling. And what it was, she really wanted to get their shoes off and see what kind of condition their feet were in, you know, get some cleaning in there and then recommend them to the doctor if there was problems, right? So this is an actual ministry. I believe maybe God's going to call someone to here for Potter's Hands, right? Tuesday nights, we have that dinner. Someone could be set up and doing some foot washing. Because this lady, I'm telling you, when I went to churches, we had a video to show about what the New Life Mission did. And they just had a part in the video where they just showed her hands. She didn't want any credit for this. They just showed her hands washing these people's feet, you know, and people just were moved. I mean, it's a moving ceremony. I ran a discipleship house. We had 7 guys living there. And we would regularly wash each other's feet, right? Because we wanted to love each other, and we were trying to follow the Lord. So we were doing all the things Jesus would do. Mm-hmm. And it was powerful. People would weep. People would let things go. To just have someone else wash your feet is a humbling thing. I'll tell you, if you feel in the urge today, don't step away from this moment. And if you're feeling like this is something you would like to do to bless people, it would change how the people at the Potter's Hands, would change how they view it, right? This lady could single-handedly show that we were serving, you know, the way the Lord served, and in a way that most people would never even dream of, right? It's an intimate experience.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And if that water could just be lukewarm, that'd be awesome. So, just bear with me, okay? This is my first attempt at this, so maybe Chadley, could you maybe get some real soaking music? Is there some soaking music that you can put on there? Hey, that works. All right. Didn't think about that. Amen? Hallelujah. So, how it's going to come forth here is, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we just... I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to serve you in this manner, Lord God. God, you instituted this type of service, Lord God, to our fellow brothers, sisters, Lord God. And so here we are, Lord God. We're presenting ourselves to you this morning, Lord God. We don't want to make anything religious out of this, but this is just an act of servanthood, a line being drawn in the sand, that the things of the past are over and they're done with. We can't change the past, but we can change this day, this very hour. And so, hallelujah. So if I could just have all the leaders come up, all our Charlene, Norma, Doug, our new chairman. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So maybe just, I wonder how we should do it. Just grab a basin, I guess. I mean, those ones that have, I'm sorry about this. Girls wash girls, okay? Unless it's my wife, I can wash hers. But I didn't. Yeah, if you didn't want to be here, that's fine. Okay, that don't matter. No. So some of us We're not just comfortable with that, so I just presumed Don that would do this. So we had talked about it Friday night, and he wasn't comfortable with that, so I give you the liberty to if you want to sit down, that's fine. But anyway, those of you, amen? Thank you, Lord. Would you come? Thank you, Jesus. Come. Just put yourself on the seat there. Just come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know it's humbling for some of you, maybe, you know, and you say, "Ah, man, I don't want anybody to see my feet," type thing. But we're not doing it because your feet or whatever. We're doing it because Jesus has wanted us to do this. Okay? Amen? Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Congratulations, bro.
Thanks. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Carter.
Thank you for that chance.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you folks for allowing yourselves to be a part of this service. Appreciate each one of you. And just want to pray a blessing over you guys as you go. I pray, Father God, that this week, Lord God, your word declares that the steps of a righteous man, righteous woman are ordered by you, Lord God. So I pray that there may be steps for each one of us that will be stepping in your direction, Lord God. Obedience as unto you, Lord God. And God, that you'd watch over them, protect each one of us, Lord God. Let us come back next week with joy in our hearts, Lord God, for what you have done and testimonies to that end, Lord God. Hallelujah. And so just cause your face to shine upon us throughout this day and throughout the rest of this week. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Well, it was...